Welcome back inside Raiders headquarters. Hour number two here as we debut the show today on the Raiders YouTube channel. Thanks again to the Raiders. We're observing 9/11. As we talked about it, the Raiders put out a tribute tweet earlier today. So everyone here is affected by 9/11. We're thinking of you today as we continue. We had Antonio Pierce and Lincoln Kennedy in the first hour of the show. Levi Edwards a little bit later on, but one of the best insiders in all the NFL. Vinny Bonsignor joins us from Vegas Nation and Raider Nation Radio. How are you, Vin?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. I'm honored to be part of your first day of your new endeavor. So exciting times and happy to be here.
Appreciate that. With your background in Los Angeles, and you know the area pretty well, paint a picture before the game of what you saw at the footprint of SoFi, the Raider Nation, as you pulled into the game in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no doubt seeing a lot of Raider gear, a lot of Raider tents, a lot of Raider flags. Raider fans were definitely having a good time on Sunday. But I'll say this. And I know that the players and the team would agree, it's time to make SoFi Stadium their home stadium. It's one thing to talk about it, and when you're there, you obviously see the effect of Raider fans and how many there are and how they take that stadium over. But the Raiders are 1-5 at SoFi Stadium now, and they have to go back again this year, next month against the Los Angeles Rams. And so it is an advantage. You saw the Chargers having to go to silent counts and do communications at the line of scrimmage in their home stadium. But for whatever reason, the Raiders haven't been able to take advantage of that where it really counts, and that's in the win-loss column.
Well, it's a cliche in football, but it was true, a tale of two halves. So I really believe that the game was lost in the first half because they had an opportunity to score late and get the ball in the third. And the Minshew turnover, it was very fluky. It's the best way I can describe it. It wasn't like he threw a pick six. It was just a ball that came out loose there. But I thought the Raiders' vision in that first half was up 7-3. Let's get a score and go into halftime and get the ball again. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, and how different would that game have looked had they been able to score a touchdown? Now, you're talking about 14-3 and getting the ball to start the third quarter. At the very least, 10-3 getting the ball to start the third quarter. Unfortunately, as we saw and you talked about, it's a fluky kind of a fumble. You never really got possession of the ball, and then maybe a little bit of an overreaction or maybe a panic, and then that ball is squirting loose, and Khalil Mack picks it up and is headed the other way. And that changed the dynamics of the game, especially at that point. You're trying to build on momentum, and not only did you not build on that momentum, you gave momentum right back to the home team.
But you saw something early in the game about the offensive line and the push that the Chargers were getting. What'd you see there? Because the Raiders' offensive line, Lincoln Kennedy just told us, the first time they played together, white hair because JPJ can't play, and Colt Miller, as he was at 100% physically, probably not, maybe, but maybe a little rust. How'd you see it?
Yeah, I think there was definitely rust involved there. And, you know, it's been a while since he's played a full game. You have to go all the way back to before the last three games of last year. So you figured that there was going to be a little bit of rust. They didn't get a chance, that group in particular, to work together, whether you're talking about OTAs or training camp or certainly not the preseason. So did that contribute to their play? I don't know, whether or not that is the case. But the bottom line is that group has to play better. Flat out, they have to play better. And I think to a man, and we're going to go in the locker room in a little bit, and we'll be talking to some of those offensive linemen. I'm sure they're not happy about their own performance in that game. It's okay. It's one game. You live to see another game. And for them, they want a rebound, I'm sure, on Sunday. And they're going to have to against the Baltimore Ravens, just as physical as the Chargers will be. But we've been talking about how important it is for the Raiders, especially with their situation offensively. You have to be able to run the ball. That was something that I had been writing about and talking about leading up to the season opener. You can't wait for that thing to come along. It has to be a staple of their offense day one. They weren't able to do that on Sunday against the Chargers, and you saw how much of an impact that had.
Vinny Bonsignor joins us at Raiders headquarters. That's a very important point. Some teams, half the league didn't have an identity.
Right.
And the teams that won, the Bears were a mess. I looked at some of the other teams that won, the Jets. They had an identity all offseason. It didn't work. So I understand it. Your identity will not be found maybe in week one and week two, but we all knew that they had to run the ball. And when you saw the first, second and one, and third and one where it didn't work, you line up a running back deep, you're running it right up the middle there, you're not getting the push with your starters in the interior. How concerning is that going forward? Because you got to fix that, especially going into Baltimore.
Yeah, without question. If you're going to struggle on, second and shorts, third and shorts, and fourth and shorts, as they showed, You know, your coach is going to start thinking a little bit differently in terms of strategy. And that's exactly what happened later on in that fourth quarter when they faced that fourth and one at the 43 of the Chargers, just under 7 minutes left. I firmly believe that what happened or didn't happen earlier in the game when they couldn't get those short yardage situations definitely impacted Antonio Pierce's decision-making to punt the ball. What did he have the most confidence in at that point? The defense. The defense was playing really good football up until that point. So in his mind, pin him down, get a three and out, get the ball back, and try again with a fresh set of downs. His confidence was not in the offensive line, was not in that running game or that offense to get that 1 yard. It was in the defense. And so, again, if you want Antonio Pierce to be aggressive in those situations, it's a two-way street as far as I'm concerned. You as players, as an offensive line, have to give him that confidence. If they had converted some of those short yarded situations early in the game, I have no doubt that Antonio Pierce is going to go for it on fourth down in the fourth quarter. Was it the right decision, the wrong decision? That's up to debate. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is he didn't have a whole lot of confidence at that point in the offense to get that yard, and that goes back to what didn't happen earlier in the game.
You know, Vinny, what bothered me on that the most was the lost opportunity on second and one to go to Trey Tucker deep. So you're going to have an opportunity in every game to stretch the field. What better opportunity do you have in a football game than second and one and third and one? Third and one, you don't want to do it because you want to move the chains, but we've seen the Raiders do that with Devontae and other players there. So I didn't like the fact that there weren't any deep shots. And they didn't have a lot of opportunities to throw it in the end zone. They could have. It would have been bombs. They were way out there. But I think that's got to get fixed pretty quickly here. And one other thing on short yardage, I'd like to see more Brock Bowers. We didn't see it in game one, but, you know, jet sweep to Brock Bowers or something with him in a unique situation where he gets his hands on the ball behind the line of scrimmage. I know he can make plays.
Yeah, absolutely. And Trey Tucker as well on the fly sweep. Things that we saw a lot of during training camp. And for whatever reason, it wasn't called. Maybe there were looks that whether it was Gardner at the line of scrimmage or you know, Luke Getsy as the offensive coordinator. But I would suspect as the season goes on, maybe as early as Sunday, you're probably going to see a little bit more of that, because one way or another, they're going to have to figure out a way to run the ball. And if it's running it up the middle, zone outside the tackles, or giving it to your dynamic tight end or a dynamic player like Trey Tucker on a fly sweep, you have to take advantage of those types of opportunities, or at least probe it and see if those types of things are working. Because as we saw on Sunday, whatever they were trying to do in the run game, for the most part, it wasn't working. And the frustrating part about it from the Raiders' perspective is, even on the rare occasions where it was working, they would follow it up with a bad play, a turnover or a sack right immediately afterwards. So there was no ability to really build a rhythm or create a rhythm and get in sync in that running game.
Yeah, our viewers are looking at this decision to punt now as they came up short again. You know, a half a yard, they don't have to make that decision. And I talked to Coach about it here, and you made a really good point. It's just a debatable topic. You know, half the coaches are going to pin them back. You know, the Riverboat Gamblers are going to go. And Antonio Pierce has time to figure out what type of coach he's going to be, but not a lot of time. I mean, eventually he's going to have to say, I feel great about this offensive line getting the push. And I really do think with Colton Miller, who's a borderline Pro Bowl player, but running behind him probably gives you a better chance than running it behind maybe Parham and Andre James, who had a tough day. Andre did, maybe up front there. But last takeaway from the game, because I want to move on to the Ravens. When you're in the locker room after the game and you see the demeanor of Max and Christian Wilkins, they played good games.
Yep.
And there was just a couple of big runs that skewed the stats. They played one great half of football. How'd they look to you after the game?
Yeah, and it's got to be frustrating if you're the defense. Now Max and Christian are ultimate teammates, and you know they're not going to point fingers or anything like that. Don't expect anything along those lines. But it does have to be frustrating. What's doubly frustrating for the Raiders defense, especially in a game like on Sunday, you hate to say, and it's almost impossible to expect a team to play perfectly, right? But they darn near had to play perfectly. Right. And on the, like you said, it was just a couple of bad moments for the defense on the run fit end of it that the Chargers were able to exploit. But when it comes down to the fact that you can't have two bad plays defensively because it's going to cost your team so dearly that it's going to be the difference maybe in the game, well, again, that goes back to the offense. If the offense is flying high and scoring points and taking care of its end of the bargain, then you can have a few bad plays like they had. And those are then become teachable moments on tape where, hey, it didn't cost us this week thanks to the offense doing their thing. But in future weeks, we've got to get that tightened up because that could cost us. And it did cost them on Sunday. Why? Because the offense wasn't able to do much other than score 10 points, and that's never going to be enough.
Yeah, Vinny Bonsignor's our guest, Vegas Nation, also our teammate on Raider Nation Radio. What are you reporting on the defensive line with Tyree Wilson now and what we've seen with Malcolm Kuntz on IR? Tom Telesco working the phones. How big of a hole is that now?
Yeah, Malcolm is a huge loss, and then you throw into the fact that Tyree Wilson gets hurt early in that game, and he actually had a nice moment. That's when he got hurt. He leaped up into the air, forced Justin Herbert to step up in the pocket right into the waiting hands of Max Crosby. That's the play that Tyree got hurt. And so it got thin really quick along the defensive line. Now, you know, you need guys like Charles Snowden to step up. You need somebody like a Janarius Robinson to step up. But it just shows you how fragile this whole thing is, not just here in Las Vegas, but for any team.
Yeah.
You don't have to go very long sometimes to have to start really reaching deep into your depth chart. And in Snowden's case, that's a practice squad guy. I know that as Antonio talked about, you know, he was the 54th guy on their depth chart. You know, he was the last guy cut, basically. The first guy that they called up in a moment's notice. So that's good for him. He had a strong training camp. But you're already down to your 54th guy to replace an important player on your defense. And this is early in the season as well. And I think it's going to be a prolonged injury for Malcolm Kuntz. As of right now, Tyree is on the roster. He hasn't gone to injured reserve. That tells you that it's probably more weeks rather than a month or so. So we'll see how that plays out. But they need to get him healthy as quickly as possible and get him on the field as quickly as possible.
Let's go to the Ravens and start with their secondary. They're a fundamentally sound team. You know, what I've always respected about the Ravens, from Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, to all their great teams up front, Aloy Nada, whoever they had up front, they're always strong at all three phases. And when you look at their secondary, they always have ball hawks.
Mm-hmm.
That if the ball goes up in the air, they'll go make a play. And this could get interesting because I think Gardner in this game is going to have to take shots, either if the Raiders are trailing or if they want to come out and set the tone. Let's start with the Raiders, Ravens defense and what they post.
Yeah, there's a guy by the name of Kyle Hamilton, Hamilton on that side of the football. I know him well as a Notre Dame fan, just a spectacular football player. I felt like he was underappreciated in his draft. He would have been a top two,
top three
pick.
Tall,
yeah, he's extremely smart. Tremendous football instincts. As you said, just a ball hawk, a leader of that defense. And they've got playmakers at every level of their defense. And if you're Gardner Minshew, that puts a premium on you making good decisions and also being able to understand what they're actually doing versus what it looks like they might be doing, because it always feels like the Ravens are lurking. It always feels like there's a 13th player or 12th or 13th player on their defense that from out of nowhere makes an unexpected type of a play to go change the alter the direction of a football game. So if you're Gardner Minshew, you have to take care of the ball and you have to make the right decisions, because I'm with you. You're going to have to challenge this defense. You can't, I don't think, live underneath play after play after play as they tried to do against the Chargers for whatever reason that was. Mm-hmm. Was it lack of time, you know, by the offensive line? Was it play calling? Was a Gardner not seeing it downfield? Was a Gardner being hesitant to challenge downfield? It was probably a combination of all those things. But he needs to get back to kind of that swashbuckling style of play that he has and take some chances, because, you know, when you're talking about the running game, when you're talking about this offense being able to function, and part of that is also if you can successfully run it, you're going to have some opportunities downfield. But he also might have to force that a little bit just to be able to create some space, create some room or breathing room for this offense to be able to function.
I would agree with you. You know, you look at this game plan and what's going to happen. I don't know. Historically, what I say when you play at the Ravens or you play a cold weather team in the winter, just run the ball, take the air out of the ball, and leave Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen on the sideline.
Yeah.
You got to win time of possession. I don't know if they can do that with this running game.
Mm-hmm.
So the other side of me is saying, go four wide. Weather's not an issue. Go in there and execute with these elite weapons. That brings me to Devontae. I'm not a big body language guy. Devontae, I don't know what he's like in the locker room as much as you do. But Devontae wants his touches, and I think they went to Devontae, and at times Devontae was wide open in that game and made some really tough catches. So he proved he was ready with his hands. He was running clean routes. They just got to get him some more targets. How do they do that?
Yeah, well, part of it goes back to the offensive line, giving Gardner Minshew time to be able to sit in the pocket and let things develop. The other part of it is I'd like to see the Raiders, and I was expecting, I should say, the Raiders to do more in play action.
Good point.
The 20-yarder, 28-yarder to Brock Bowers was off of a play action, and I want to say Gardner rolled out a little bit on that play. They got him on the move. He makes a big play downfield. Maybe that's what, you know, needs to happen for things to be able to, you know, you just buy yourself a little bit of time. And statistics have shown that, yes, it's important to have a run game to set the play action up. But there's also statistics to show that you don't even really have to be running it successfully to be able to utilize that action, just the fake itself to a running back to get those linebackers and safeties just thinking about it just enough of a half of a second in order to maybe create some space and some time for your quarterback to throw the ball. Even the defensive linemen, they have to account for that. Is he running it or what's the deal here? And then react off whatever it is that they do. And if they're not handing it off, then you get back to rushing the passer. But I think the Raiders need to get back to that. They didn't do it a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I know that Gardner has been successful in his career last year with the with the Colts. A lot of his success came off of play action passes. So maybe that's something that the Raiders can get back to in Baltimore.
As we wrap this up, I want to get to the Raiders O-line. We spent a lot of time on it with you and Lincoln Kennedy and what they're going to have to do with this pass rush for the Ravens. The Ravens pin their ears back and they come after you here. And sometimes they blitz. Other times Harbaugh wants them to just stay because you talked about the strength of that secondary. This is a very important matchup, as you pointed out, to give the receivers time to get open for bigger than those shorter routes. I think that's going to be a big test when they get back on the plane. We'll know. How did they handle the Baltimore defensive line after what we saw against the Chargers?
Yeah, and you know, Antonio Pierce brought this up. He had watched the Lions kind of run it up the Rams' throat in that overtime. I think they threw one pass in that overtime drive, and that's kind of what Antonio Pierce really wants to be about, and it was a mindset. They were the more physically, the stronger team at that point in the game, and that's what he wants to be about. So from the get-go, I think the Raiders, from their offensive line's perspective, needs to take the fight to the Ravens. They need to fire off the ball. They need to set a tone, and whether it's in run blocking or pass blocking, that's where it all starts. And that's why I'm interested to go talk to Andre and Colton a little bit later today in the locker room. Because knowing them, I know that they're not happy with their performance, and they understand that they need to rebound. Colton Miller told me, I think it was Friday of last week, it all starts with us. And it does. That's not a cliche. It starts up front. And they didn't have a good one on Sunday. And I think they're champing at the bit to get back out there on Sunday and kind of redeem themselves and be the tone setters that Antonio Pierce wants them to be and that they know they need to be for this Raiders offense to be successful.
You know, Vinny, finally, we like to talk about these cities. You travel a lot. It's great that you're going to go see UNLV play at Kansas on the way to Baltimore.
Right, exactly.
Which is great. Walk me through the history of Baltimore, because Johnny Unitas and the team moved from Cleveland, but they were based in Baltimore. Coach Pierce lit up when I said, you know, Ted Hendricks had an unbelievable career early on, and Al Davis got him to the Raiders. There's a lot of history. Ghost to the Post, Memorial Stadium here. And then the Ravens, you know, beat the Raiders in the AFC Championship game to go to a Super Bowl here. We saw all that happening. This rivalry, we don't see them often, but it's a deep one in the history of this league.
Yeah, it really is. And all due respect to the Indianapolis Colts, those are the Colts from Baltimore. But as you mentioned, Johnny Unitas, there's a statue of him outside Baltimore Stadium, and he never played for the Ravens. That was a brand new, that was the Cleveland Browns who moved to Baltimore and changed their name and all that. But there's such a rich history in Baltimore. I always like going back. Baltimore sometimes gets a bad rap. I enjoy going to Baltimore. I like that part of the country. And I like the rabid fan base and what they've always meant to the NFL and then the AFC. Remember, the Colts were a longtime NFL team before they switched over to the AFC in a weird thing that they did. But it is a great fan base, and they've really built a great organization there. And hats off to John Harbaugh. Hats off to Ozzie Newsome, who's helped build that thing. Ownership. It's kind of a model franchise. Yeah, and if the Raiders can, And I fully believe that they're gonna get this thing turned around eventually. That's an organization that no doubt you would respectfully emulate an organization like that.
Vegas Nation, everything he does at the Review Journal, our teammate here on Raider Nation Radio. Thanks, Vinny, for coming in.
Thank you for
having me. Appreciate it. When we come back, we'll dive into it. Levi Edwards will join us in a little bit as we continue on from Raiders headquarters as we debut Raiders Rundown. Raiders Rundown, JT at Raiders headquarters. Thanks again to Vinny Bonsignore. We had Lincoln Kennedy, Antonio Pierce, Levi Edwards will join us from the digital team coming back. I love this. I'm honored to be here today. You know, I'm in this podcast studio a lot. Eddie Pascal, our teammate, he originates some great podcasts from here. We get players and coaches up there. The Raiders put a lot into this facility. When you see the practice facility, if you're a fan who's been here for an outdoor practice, if you follow the Raiders like you do on all social media, you see this building and how important this building is going forward, not only to the organization, but the players who come here, from the meal room to the locker room to all the opportunities they have to be comfortable here that Mark Davis gives them to become better players. And then, you know, being a part of this broadcast team at Silver and Black Productions to come in here and have this thing dialed in. So great. Really happy that we could do that here today. So a couple of comments. First, we want to hear from Gardner Minshew, who's in a unique spot now. He beat out Aiden O'Connell, and it was a tough battle. It came down to the wire. I was at Costa Mesa. This was not an easy decision. I didn't think either quarterback played at a high, high level, but one was going to win, and Gardner Minshew won out. And he goes into his first game as the quarterback of the Silver and Black, and there were some struggles, but he also did some good things. Here's Gardner after the game.
This is probably a little bit above your pay rate, but 4th-and-1 down there at the 43-yard line. It looked like you guys were thinking about going for it. Would you have rather gone for it?
I mean, that's coach's decision, you know. But I think anybody that's any type of ball player wants the ball in their hands, you know, with the opportunity to help the team. Man, I think we're going to see some positive stuff on tape, a lot to clean up. I feel like we beat ourselves a lot of the game. Hats off to them. They played a great game, played hard. Like I said, kept a roof on things, but I think we still have very high expectations of what we can do as an offense, and that execution wasn't up to our standard. It is frustrating, but it's also encouraging. You know, like, I think we still have a lot of juice on offense. We have a lot of dudes, and once it clicks, it's going to click, you know. So I think we just got to keep pressing, keep moving forward, and we're going to be fine. They had a good game plan, like I said. I think they made us really earn it, move the ball down the field, and at times we weren't good enough at doing that, being consistent. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway just right now. Obviously, you know, we had some tough drives, some tough stops, plays we want back, but, I mean, I feel like our overall demeanor, like, we were in it till the end. Like, we're going to try to figure out a way to get in there, even with down 2 scores. Like, I feel good about our guys. You know, every time we step in the huddle, we're expecting to win that play and win the game. You know, like anything, it's our first time, you know, as an offense on the big stage, you know. So figuring out, you know, what we're about, how it operates, and, you know, on the road, you know, with a little noise, communication always gets stressed. But, man, I feel like there's going to be a lot to build on, a lot to feel positive about. Obviously, today was not good enough, but I still have a lot of high hopes for our team.
As a leader of this team, is that kind of the message? Like, you know, it's easy to focus on the bad, but there was some good that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to balance it. You know, there's obviously stuff we're going to practice and clean up. And anytime you lose, you're going to figure out a way to win next time. You know, you gotta work on things. Whatever we did didn't work, so we're going to figure it out and move on to next week.
All right, I like Gardner a lot. He's accountable. Everybody is. You know, the quarterback had a fumble, which was a fluke. The running back had a fumble. You know, running backs fumble the ball from time to time, and the Raiders have to find a way not to do that in Baltimore in a very hostile environment. For Minshew's stats, thrown for 257, a touchdown, and an interception, I think there's going to be games where Gardner has to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. And that's just my opinion. Raider Nation has great opinions. We appreciate everybody and what you have to think on this. But this team can't play nervous and scared and look to just do things to win. There's got to be games on this schedule. I go back to the Charger game last year, 63 points. No one thought coming off a game that they were shut out, that they were going to put up a franchise record. But they came into the game free, no pressure, throwing the ball, taking chances, having fun. And they got to do that in Baltimore. Now, how do you have fun in Baltimore when you're playing a team that's that angry and that physical? You got to go out and have a game plan that you trust. And today, as they're working out here in the indoor facility, they're putting packages in plays that will work against Baltimore. What will work against Baltimore? Is it running it right at the pile with Zeus or bouncing him on the outside? Is it more Michael Mayer? Is it more Brock? I don't know. Jacoby had a great catch to start the game off. But when you don't pick up first downs and you're not efficient on third down, you're not going to be on the field. So just picking up one first down, a drive starts, it's third and one, you get a first down. That could be two more passes to Devontae. That could be a deep shot to Trey Tucker. And then the team goes to the bench and hopes the defense can get off the field. They have to sustain drives. And I believe, my opinion, is the best way for them to do it is the short, electric passing game. The short 6 to 8 yard passes where these guys can run after the catch. Devontae, Jacoby. Brock Bowers is super elite at that. I don't need to see Brock play in the NFL to know how elite he is yards after the catch. And that's what's going to happen there. And then the deep shot to Trey Tucker. I think they're going to need Trey Tucker in this game. I think early they're going to have to come out and throw a couple of deep balls to let everybody know that he's in the building and a safety is going to have to keep an eye on him over the top. Med Max Crosby is probably your favorite player. If you're a Raider fan, why not? The guy plays every play. He did it again. Here's Mad Max after the game.
As far as when you think they try to get away from you guys a little bit?
We just didn't play good enough. You know, simple and plain. We let some leaky things, you know, the run game hop off. So it's about playing, you know, consistent for four quarters, and we didn't do that. So, you know, we'll see what we got.
Can we kind of see a flash of what you guys could be up front early? You guys were really suffocating on at least of the first half.
Yeah, I mean, we did some good things, but, you know, we just got to be better. It's got to be four quarters, that's what we preach. And like I said, we'll see them again. You know, it's not our first game. It's not the end of the world, but, you know, every game matters. So we got to learn from it and get better from it.
Would you say it was, I mean, based on what you saw, were they making adjustments? Were there lapses? Were you guys getting worn down? What would you say that?
No, it's details. You know what I mean? That's football. You know, it's a game of inches and a game of details, and we weren't detailed enough for four quarters. You know, we did some good things, but there's a couple runs where, you know, it's on us. You know, at the end of the day, it's about block destruction, getting off blocks and finishing plays, and, you know, we just let things get a little leaky at the end. That's not what we're about, so we got to fix it, you know, fix it moving forward.
I know it's next man mentality, but having lost Malcolm just before the game, I mean, what has that kind of done to this defense and kind of retooling planning?
Obviously, it's a horrible, you know, unfortunate situation. You know, we love Malcolm. He brings a lot of juice, and he's a great player. So seeing one of our brothers, you know, get hurt, it sucks. But it's the National Football League at the end of the day. We got to keep showing up and find a way to win. So there's no excuses ever. You know, we're praying for him, and hopefully, you know, he'll be fine. But at the end of the day, you know, whoever's out there, we got to, you know, play our best football and go out there and execute.
Beyond Malcolm, Max, you guys also lost Tyree today too, so you're a little thin there at defensive end. I mean, how did you guys kind of adjust for that?
Like I said, you know, it's just that's the nature of the beast. You know, people get hurt, people get injured. It's next man up mentality. So, you know, we had guys like J-Rob and, you know, Snowden, a couple guys step in and do some good things. You know what I mean? We're a big group, and we trust everybody in that room. So we just got to learn, keep moving, you know, keep getting better, keep moving forward, and find a way to, you know, improve moving forward.
You know, I was immediately following the game, and you could see the frustration with Max there. Obviously, he wants to win, and they're getting thin, as Vinny Bonsignore talked about, the depth on the defensive line. But let me tell you about Max Crosby. He's wearing that Kobe shirt. Spent some time with him in Costa Mesa. He's in the best shape. He had his knee cleaned up, and he had a hand. He's okay. He's ready to go. This guy doesn't come off the field. A lot of people said, well, this year, JT, maybe he gets a rest. You're right. He should get a rest. He should have to come off the field. He's got to save himself for bigger games later in the year. He won't do it. The guy wants to be there with his teammates on every play. He's always prepared to play. He's the classic legendary Raider. He's tight with Howie Long. He talks to these alumni when they come in the building, Phil Villapiano, whoever it is. This is what everyone needs to do. You got to get behind Max on game day. You got to come out of the tunnel saying that if Max is our leader, we're going to play at a level like Max. We're not as good as Max. Max is the best player on the field. But we got to at least have that energy and focus every play. And that's what Max is going to do. You can tell he's frustrated. And there's a big test for Max. But I tell you this much about Max. He loves going up against Lamar Jackson. I just got a piece of video and a text before we came back from my buddy Jerry Coleman in Baltimore, covers the Ravens, of Lamar Jackson talking about Max. They all know in Owings Mill in Baltimore that Max is coming, and they're going to try to prepare for him. And they got good guys to chip him and really good tight ends to chip. And Max is going to have to play at his highest level if the Raiders are going to get out of Baltimore with the win. I'm excited for this game. I think you go in there and you throw punches. I think you get off the bus and you throw punches. And you show everybody how tough you are. And you show everybody you're a Raider when you get off that bus. And you don't feel sorry for yourself, which you're not. You go win the game. You keep it close and you put the game away in the fourth quarter. That's what the Raiders are expected to do. That's what Mark Davis pays them to do. And it's a big put-up game where they got to come out and play at a very high level. When we come back, Levi Edwards will join us from the digital team. He's always got great content as we continue on Raiders Rundown. It's a landmark day for this show. We get a chance from Raider Nation Radio to debut on the Raiders YouTube channel. Really excited about that. And Levi Edwards is someone we brought into our world here a couple of years ago because he has tremendous content. He's embedded with the team. He travels with the team, has relationships with the players and coaches, and he's kind enough to join us again. How are you?
Thank you for having me. That was such a great tee off. I appreciate it.
You deserve it, my friend. And before we get to Baltimore, I wanted your big picture there because we spent a lot of time together in Costa Mesa watching this team practice. And the team, you know, it was tough to get the offense going because, as you wrote, Max was wrecking a lot of practices. It was tough. They had to make a quarterback decision. Was it just a little bit of rust in L.A. or just some of the breaks going against them?
Definitely some rust. It doesn't matter who you are in the NFL, all 32 teams, no matter how great you looked week one, everyone has rust. So obviously, not only are you rusty coming off of, you know, a whole offseason, whole training camp, you're also going into a year with a brand new offense that Luke Getsy's bringing in. So you have to also get accustomed to that. And obviously, those practices against Max Crosby, one of the more elite premier defensive ends in the game, that's going to help you out a lot, especially when you have week one, Khalil Mack and Bosa on the other side. So definitely it's going to take some time for them to just, you know, continue to click, get things going. But nothing to worry about too much after week one.
Well, they're out on the practice field now, and I know you're going to be in the locker room afterwards. What do you think's the one thing that they could build on in a positive way coming off the game? Gardner threw it for 75%. Bowers had a good game. Devontae did everything he was supposed to do. They went with a hot hand at running back. So what do you like about, and you don't like anything coming off a loss, but they can build on for Baltimore?
This is the one thing that I will say that I really liked. And obviously it's going to make you a little bit more frustrated coming off a loss. But when you watch the game, whether it was live in person or whether you watch it back on film, the Chargers, they did play a good game, and I will give them that. You always have to give credit where credit is due. But when I look back at it, the Raiders beat the Raiders. And that's something that will piss them off at the moment, but you can look back at the tape and be encouraged by, if we don't make these self-inflicted, you know, issues, we keep the ball, you know, continue to run the ball effectively, do little small things, you know, continue to play good defensive football for all four quarters, not three. If you continue to hone down on those things, it will you know, result in victory, which I feel the Raiders had every chance to win that game. They just kind of got in their own way, and they couldn't capitalize throughout the entirety of the game.
Levi Edwards joins us in headquarters studio. Now, this is interesting with Lamar. I love the history of the game. And going back to mobile quarterbacks from Fran Tarkenton, excuse me, you go to some of the greatest players to ever play outside the pocket, Steve Young, Michael Vick, Warren Moon, friend of the show, a lot of guys. He is in that conversation. But he's not in the conversation because Mahomes beats him. And the last two games that Lamar played, he lost to Patrick Mahomes. Playoff game, and then he opens up in Kansas City. He's riding a two-game losing streak against a great team, the reigning Super Bowl champs. A lot of people think he's going to feast against the Raiders because of the stats he put up in Kansas City. I don't see it that way. He puts the ball on the ground from time to time. And Levi, he took a lot of hits in that loss in Kansas City last week.
Most definitely. First, shout out to Warren Moon because CFL Warren Moon was incredible. So that's first and foremost. But every generation has had these dynamic dual threat quarterbacks. Your generation had Randall Cunningham.
Yeah.
I grew up watching Michael Vick. Antonio Pierce even talked about how he had to game plan against Michael Vick as a player, and he said it was very similar to what he has to do this week against Lamar. And I thought that was very interesting because when you have a dynamic player like that you played against and now you have to game plan against another one of the same caliber, it definitely will help the defense. As far as stopping Lamar, even though this is a very different team than 2021, they kind of have the recipe already. If you go back and you watch the film from that game, electric season opener in Allegiant Stadium, Max Crosby, he got after the quarterback. He was very impactful. He was the defensive player of the week that game. So you go back, got pressure, and they also forced Lamar to have turnovers. They got fumbles. They got, you know, I believe two turnovers out of Lamar that game.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, especially when you're on the road against a very good team, you have to win the turnover margin, which this Raiders defense has done a great job of doing throughout training camp, throughout preseason, and hopefully when you get on the road, you can capitalize on that.
I didn't know how good Isaiah Likely was. I looked at his stats, and I think he's got 75 career receptions. We're not talking about a guy who's got 1,000 receptions, been in this league forever. He's a good player, and they had a guy in their organization by the name of Darren Waller, who the Raiders got, and he turned out to be a legendary statistical Raider for a short period of time. They got Andrews, and they got Likely. The Raiders have Bowers and Mayer. So for the two tight ends for the Ravens, I think this is a big game. You hear the name Isaiah Palamal, who can come in, Nate Hobbs, Epps, and Merrig. Let's talk about how they defend the tight ends, because those tight ends at times put up numbers like wide receivers.
Most definitely. The Ravens are another team, like the Raiders, who will want to have success within that 12 personnel. So you have Mark Andrews, who is usually Lamar's top target.
Yeah, he is.
However, in that week one, you saw him doing a lot more blocking, a lot more in the designed quarterback runs and things of that nature. So Isaiah Likely, he's a guy I've been familiar with for a while because he's a Coastal Carolina guy, and I grew up in Charlotte, so I've known about his
game for
a while.
Tell me about him. I don't know much about him other than the stats and seeing the B-roll, and his foot was out of – and he was very emotional in the tunnel after that last game, chirping
very
at the
emotional
fans. So is he a highly emotional guy? Like, can the Raiders get under his skin, and is that the type of guy who's going to go right back at the Raiders? What's he like?
Well, like you said, really he's a guy that – obviously, when you look at the Ravens receiving corps, they don't have any super huge standout guys outside of Zay Flowers, but they don't have that dynamic, you know, very premier receiver. So they have to depend on a lot of guys to play their role. And I think Isaiah Likely, with his frame, 6'3", about 220 guy, he's a really, really good route runner, has good speed, has great hands, which is something I saw when he was at Coastal. So that's somebody you have to really do a good job to defend. Like you said, Nate Hobbs, he's going to be critical, because now he's in this spot where he's not really just your standard nickel corner. He's a star within this defense. So you're going to depend on him to do a lot, from rushing the passer to being out in coverage, also defending those intermediate routes, you know, the running backs or tight ends in that space. So Nate Hobbs is going to have to do a lot. And then also you have a lot of three safety sets as well, with Palamau, Merrig, Epps, like you were referring to. So really, when it comes down to it, you just have to make sure you keep everything in front of you, because you know Lamar is going to go. He's going to make runs. That's what he's going to do. So you have to make sure you keep everything in front of you.
One of the things I love about this game is Derrick Henry, because it's good and bad. If Derrick Henry isn't running downhill and you can get him, he's a massive target. So if you can get him, Christian Wilkins and John Jenkins, and slow him down, then Spillane can come in and really finish him for a 2 or 3 yard gain. If you don't, and he does what we saw the Chargers do, just wrong gap assignment, He's got enough speed not to go the distance anymore, but to get you a 30, 40-yard run. I got to believe the Raider defense and Patrick Graham have got to figure out a plan to slow down Derrick Henry.
Most definitely. And Derrick Henry, obviously, he's a little up there in age. However, if I'm not sure if you've ever seen Derrick Henry in person, but he's an unfair human being.
Yeah, you work out a lot, position. And I know your workouts, and you look at his some of the he's even got a State Farm commercial now where he's pulling a house and he's doing all this. But his typical workout in the off season looks ridiculous to
me.
Why is that? What does he do?
I mean, he just has personal trainers, and it's really just genetics, just what he does. A lot of dynamic things. And also, you kind of start to notice he does a lot of things in the offseason kind of as if he's a power lifter, which is something that I've noticed from him and also Jalen Hurts, workouts as well. But he's just a guy who is a linebacker or a defensive end playing running back. And for him to be that fast at that size and be that size and be that fast, it's just unfair. However, Robert Spillane, when he was with the Steelers, he had success going up against Derrick Henry. And so you're going to have to depend on him a lot. That linebacker core with Diablo and also Spillane and also maybe Masterson stepping up, a couple of other linebackers stepping up, they're going to be crucial because Derrick Henry's the kind of guy, if he gets past that defensive line, he can get to the second level and he has enough speed to continue going. He's not just a power guy. He's a power and speed guy, which is a devastating combination for any defense that you have to play.
Well, you know this team well, and you're in the locker room, and I think it's going to be, middle of the week here, you start to get the vibe of this team going forward. It seems like the backdrop is the injuries on the defensive line, but an offense that left a lot on the table in L.A., a team that has a chip on their shoulder, and a team that doesn't want to go down 0-2. And the Ravens could be 0-2 by Sunday night. A lot of people don't get this, that you play to win the game, and you can beat anybody on any given Sunday, and the Raiders got to find a way to be in the fourth quarter with a manageable score. I think they can only get there is if they go back and forth and have an aerial attack. Others disagree. Take the air out of the ball. They took the air out of the ball last week. I don't want to see that 2 weeks in a row. I don't want to see a fundamental game plan that we, and this is not what the coaches are saying, I'm talking the fans, we don't think we can win the game, so we got to run the ball and keep Lamar there and hope that we do this and hope that. I think this team has got to do what they've done dating back to Al Davis and the team of the decades. Do what they want to do. Come in and say, hey, we might not win the game, but we're going to go down swinging, and we're going to throw it 35 times, and we're going to get Devontae 12, and we're going to get Bowers 6, and we're going to get out of here and win the game, because that's what's at stake here. You cannot go in to Baltimore and be timid and hope that Baltimore cooperates with your game plan. You got to make sure Baltimore looks at your game plan and says, wow, the Raiders made adjustments on us.
I 100% agree with everything you just said, and even with Gardner Minshew, if you look at the stats of his air yards, he threw for 4.7 air yards per throw, which is basically just little dump-off passes. So obviously with Gardner Minshew and what he did, you saw a very conservative attack from him, I would say. He was very accurate with the ball, 75% completion. However, you didn't really see a lot of those risk and a lot of trying to really hone in on deep passes. And I think with Gardner Minshew, with a guy like him, he's not a conservative quarterback. He's a very high risk, high reward quarterback with this play style. And sometimes, with the risk, you gotta take it so you can get the rewards. He's a guy that when you open up the run game, which the Raiders could not do against the Chargers, you open up the run game, Gardner Minshew is going to be the guy. He's going to get you on play action. He's going to look deep. That's what he does. So I think with obviously him becoming more comfortable within the offense, they got to open it up to him a little bit more. Obviously, there's going to be some risk. Gardner Minshew's a gunslinger kind of guy. But you just got to take those risks so you can try to get those rewards.
When I was last with you, we were in Minneapolis. You had your Prince vibe. You were going, you had the Prince Purple Rain thing going. You wanted to see where he performed, the house, all that. Now, Baltimore's got a great history in R&B and rock and roll and hip-hop and all that. So you're going to get out to Baltimore. What do you want to see first when you get out there?
This is actually going to be a crazy answer right here.
Crazy answer.
So I'm a English guy myself. When I say English, just literature.
Okay.
And so one of my mom, shout out mom if you're watching, one of her favorite poets all time is Edgar Allan Poe, who is one of the biggest Baltimore natives that the city has to offer. So when I'm in Baltimore, I'm going to try to, go to maybe his the house that he grew up on, obviously, the bars that, you know, he would, you know, go to in his time. I also know he's buried in downtown Baltimore as well. So I'm kind of going to try to seek out some of those spots. I'm a huge fan of a lot of his literature growing up. So I know that's a really weird, crazy answer, but
it's really cool. It's very, you're a writer. You're a digital writer here, man.
I'm a Renaissance man.
You're a Renaissance. Go check out Babe Ruth's house too. That's pretty cool.
I forgot he's from Baltimore.
The birth of Babe Ruth. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Levi Edwards. As I wrap it up here, I want to thank everybody behind the scenes here for what we were able to do today as we get this going. And this was a lot of fun putting this together today. I want to thank the entire team behind the wall there for kind of making us feel comfortable, giving us a lot of video and sound bites, and then getting us the great guests that we're going to have. So this is different. Now, tomorrow I go back in studio. I'm on my own YouTube channel, JT The Brick YT, on Twitter, at JT The Brick, Facebook, the same thing. We'll interact. We'll take more phone calls and get going. And then we're going to build up for this game in Baltimore. It's an early start, so we got an early game coming up on Sunday. Eric Allen and I will be anchoring the pregame show right from this studio as we're excited. And then the following week, we'll see you at the Torch for the grand opening of Allegiant Stadium in the home schedule with the Carolina Panthers. But before Carolina, before Cleveland, before all these big games that are coming up, the Raiders have a great opportunity here. I look at it as an opportunity in this rivalry to do something great. The way they're going to do something great is they got to feed off the superstars on this team. The reason why the Raiders have a good team, it's not elite. No one's predicting Super Bowl, mostly around the league or the Vegas Sharps. But the reason why the Raiders have a chance to win every game is they have a head coach who's passionate, and they have star players on both sides of the ball. And last week we saw Max get off to a good start with an early sack. Devontae caught the balls that came his way, and we saw the emergence of Brock Bowers. I'm a Zamir White fan. I think they'll get him going. He's going to have big games this year. You're going to see Zamir go over 120 yards, have a 60-yard touchdown and all that. But this is a game where I hope the Raiders go in there fearless. I hope they go in there with an energy level that I'm used to seeing. I hope the Raiders show up ready to play. I don't want to hear about early start, body clock, all that. None of that. Pierce will have him ready to go. He came on here and told us, show up. And the Raider fans, last message to you, is Raider fans in that area, normally there's a couple of East Coast games. You get one in Pittsburgh, you get one in Buffalo, you get one here or there. No, this is that corridor there where Raider fans that I know from Jersey, Raider fans from Maryland, D.C., in that whole area that love their team, love the Silver and Black, are going to this game. And then the East Coast Raider fans will see in Miami and Tampa, there'll be an opportunity to go south. But this is the game where we need the Raider Nation to show up the way they showed up in Los Angeles against the Chargers. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions and everyone at Lotus Broadcasting, Bobby and the team back in the building, thank you very much. We'll continue to do this. If you miss any portion of the show, you'll be able to archive it by going to Raiders.com and going to the Raiders YouTube channel, which I'm excited to be a part here. Great day. Thanks to everybody involved here. For the Raider Nation, thanks for supporting us on all of our platforms. Check out all of our podcasts, all our interviews, and everything that we're doing in the building. One down, many more to go. Thanks for joining me on Raiders Rundown.